Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, which you heard read earlier. At the moment of conception, everyone begins a journey through this life until they reach their final destination. And thanks to our ancient ancestor Adam and his fall in the Garden of Eden, everyone has inherited his sin, which means this life's journey will be difficult and burdensome until you face your own physical death. Your journey will require patience and endurance. No one gets a free pass, whether it be a fetus or infant or aged, rich or poor, all mankind faces an arduous pilgrimage to that final destination. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus' destination is Jerusalem. His destination is to be stricken and smitten by God, afflicted and put to death on Calvary's bloody cross. And it is a journey that will require much endurance and patience on his behalf. He has been teaching the crowds on his way to Jerusalem, and on this particular day, well, he has been teaching the crowds about the inheriting the kingdom of heaven. And on this final day, on this particular day, as he goes on his way, someone from the crowds asked him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" Maybe you've pondered the question, will it be few, will it be many? Way back in 2010, Pew Research survey showed that 54% of evangelical Protestants in America believe that good people will enter heaven. Regardless of denomination, regardless of whether they are Christian or not, regardless of whether they confess the name of Jesus, 54% of American evangelicals believe folks will go to heaven, good folks. God's holy word and Jesus disagrees. In our text, Jesus warns all mankind, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able." The door is narrow. And the word "strive" in our text is an imperative. In the original language, it means to engage in a contest, to fight and struggle. In this particular word is which in our English language we derive the word agonize. So what is your destination? And are you struggling along the way? If you wish to enter the kingdom of God, it is imperative that you strive and struggle to enter through the narrow door. The way to destruction is broad and wide. Entrance into the kingdom, however, is narrow and is accomplished by struggle and striving. Now, exactly how few or how many will enter the kingdom of God is not man's concern. That alone is hidden in the mysteries of God's hidden will. And in our text, as Jesus often does, he corrects this individual's line of questioning. Because it doesn't matter how many will be let into heaven. What matters in our text is this person in the text among those who will enter the kingdom of heaven? Is this person saved? Is these folks here at St. Timothy this morning saved? Jesus didn't come into the world to answer men's curiosities, but to save their souls. So Jesus twists the question and makes it personal to the questioner, to those who are listening, and to you and me this morning. What matters is, are you saved? Do you know the master of the house? Does the master of the house know you? Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. Now, Jesus' instruction to strive sounds like works righteousness. It sounds like a law statement to a discerning Lutheran ear. And so perhaps the suggestion of striving to enter through the narrow door makes you somewhat suspicious, because you know that Scripture teaches you that you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. You know that it is for the sake of Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross that you are forgiven of your sins and that you are deemed righteous before God. And it's all because in his earthly life, Jesus kept God's law perfectly for you on your behalf. And in his suffering and death, he was delivered up for your trespasses. And on the third day, he was raised for your justification. Jesus did all the work, all the striving, all the struggling, all the work of salvation he has completed. He said, "It is finished." The riches of God's infinite love and mercy are poured out upon you at Christ's expense, given you in holy baptism, where you were called to faith, or when you were called to faith in the preaching of the gospel. So here's the catch. Jesus' command to strive in our text does not mean that it is your responsibility to strive and work your way into heaven by earning your own salvation by your works and piety and deeds. No, the struggling and striving which one enters the kingdom of heaven is by repentance and faith, which are both worked by God in the heart by the power of God. Jesus is talking in our text about what happens after the Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel, who has enlightened you with his gifts and sanctified you in the true faith. St. Paul describes it this way. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In our text, Jesus is talking about what the Christian life looks like after you have been declared not guilty of your sin and made righteous for the sake of Jesus. Yes, salvation is yours for the sake of Christ Jesus alone, by the grace of God alone. But as a new creation, the new person living in Christ Jesus, repent and strive to live a holy and God-pleasing life. The very first of Martin Luther's 95 theses states, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. In the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, the Reformers write, love and good works must always follow faith. Good works should be done because God has commanded them and in order to exercise our faith. But why am I wasting my time reading out of the Lutheran Confessions when God's Word proclaims the very same things? Because the Lutheran Reformers are just proclaiming what God's Word confesses. We hear this in our epistle text this morning. The book of Hebrews is written to Hebrew Christians who, like you, have already received salvation by grace alone. But the Hebrews are struggling. They're struggling with persecution and their own sin. They have guilt of the sins they have committed, and they are suffering the shame of the sins that have been committed against them. So the writer sends them this epistle. It's a sermon to the Hebrews to remind them what it looks like to live a Christian life. In the first verse of our text, you'll see the word struggle. In the original language, it is the exact same word that Jesus uses in our gospel text for strive. Strive, struggle, fight against sin. The Hebrews suffering, struggle and suffering against sin is no different than it has been for any other Christian at any point in creation, even including your life. They're the same struggles faced by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the same temptations faced by Peter, James, and John. It's living a life of law and gospel, a life of repentance and faith. Beginning in verse 14 of our epistle, the preacher exhorts the Hebrews and you and me to strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Don't wait for the peace to come for you, but strive to live at peace with everyone. You are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit at the font, and that Holy Spirit empowers you to strive, to seek peace. Seek peace with everyone, and while at the same time enabling you not to cave in to the accepted public and private sins of the world, the perversions of society, but it enables you to strive to love your neighbors yourself out of genuine love, concern for their health and their welfare, and most especially their salvation. As the preacher said in verse 15, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Proclaim the gospel of Jesus to your neighbor. Repent of your sin and strive to live a holy life, because you became a holy child of God in baptism or when you came to faith. And for the sake of Jesus' death and resurrection, God sees you as holy. You are his holy child. So have no part of the world, child of God. Take no part in gossip or greed or idolatry, selfishness or any kind of depravity of the world. The regenerated new man within you in Christ no longer lives that way. He repents and he strives, trusting in Jesus. And as you strive for peace and holiness, be prepared. Just like the Old Testament prophets and apostles and believers of all times, you indeed will face persecution. You will be slandered. You will be called unloving and narrow-minded and a bigot and a phobic of every kind of different perversion. You'll be made a social outcast because of your confession of Christ crucified. But dear Christian, wear that badge of suffering with honor, because you are being persecuted for the sake of the one who bled and died for you. So what is your destination? Using the metaphor of a feast, Jesus illustrates the last day when mankind will reach their final destination. The entrance to the feast is through a very narrow door, which has graciously been propped open ever since the beginning of time. However, the time will come when the master of the feast will shut the door. The time of God's grace will come to an end. And on that day, many will be shocked. Oh no, the door has gone closed. And they're going to find themselves outside looking in. Some are going to pound on the door. Lord, open up to us. Then the master will answer, I do not know where you come from. Those outside will argue, Lord, I know you. I've seen you. I heard you preaching in the streets. Mom brought me to church every Christmas and Easter. I have a confirmation Bible on my shelf somewhere in my house. But the master will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. Notice Jesus calls these people workers of evil. They are workers of unrighteousness. Jesus knows their hearts, and he knows yours. These folks in our text have no faith in the righteous one of God. The door had been open, but they never took the time to peek inside. They never took the time to come in and sit down and commune in word and sacrament with the Master. They never took the time to get to know the Master, learn of his love and grace for them. But you, dearly beloved, you have Jesus' assurance that by faith, the master of the house knows you. By faith in Jesus, your destination is the kingdom of heaven. The master knows you because he knit you together in your mother's womb. And from conception, all through that knitting, all the way on to today, he has provided for your every need. And he will continue to provide until you reach your destination. Now, to be sure, you were born into sin, and you continue to daily sin much. But while you were still one of those unrighteous who did not know the Master, Christ Jesus came and he died for you. The Master gave his only begotten Son into death to deliver you from your sins. Once you were among the last, but according to Jesus' blood and righteousness, he has made you first. The Master knows you because Jesus has reconciled you with the Master, and he sees you as righteous and holy. And he stands at the door with his arms wide open to welcome you home, to be fed at his table in both word and in sacrament in the kingdom of God. So Jesus' command to strive does not mean that it is your responsibility to work your way into heaven by your own reason or strength, because you are saved by grace alone through faith. Faith in the one who bled and died for you. He is the one who regenerated you in holy waters of baptism and joined you together with Christ's death and resurrection. And today you are born anew in Christ. How does a Christian live? We strive and we struggle to enter God's kingdom through repentance and faith. Repentance and trusting and believing in Jesus and all his promises made you. It's a daily battle, but we struggle and strive with the Holy Spirit on our side. Daily drown that old Adam in baptismal waters, arise a new creation, living before God in righteousness and purity, trusting solely in Christ Jesus for your salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.